Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Tonight's message is entitled Mountain Climber. Mountain Climber. Joshua chapter 14. And tonight we're looking at verse number 6 through verse number 14. You know, church, God has designed that we live in victory. He did not say it would be easy, but we can live in victory. And tonight I want us to look at possibly the first spiritual mountaineer and how he had claimed the mountain that was promised him. He would have to wait quite a while to claim that mountain, but nonetheless, by faith, he claimed it. And tonight we want to look at the life of Caleb. The more I study this man's life, the more I love him, the more I love his spirit, the more I love the faith that he had in God, and the characteristics that I see in him. I say, God, develop those in me as well. And so let's notice some great lessons tonight that we can learn from him. And let's start now tonight at verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. In other words, he's saying, I am 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, which was how old, church? About 40 years, right? So how many of you think 40 is old? Don't you dare raise your hand. 40's not old. Although when I was these teenagers' age, I thought 40 was old. But anyway, now here's the man, 85 years old. And he says, I am this age now. And he says, I am as strong now as I was when I was 40. How many of you would like to be able to say when you're 85, you have the same strength as you did when you were 40? Huh? Yeah. Sure. How many of you think, though, that's not usually reality? It's not. But that said, we find in this context, that's what he says about himself. Verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, where the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel. I love it. A mountain climber. He not only literally claimed a mountain, but I believe that this was a man who, if you would, had claimed some spiritual mountains in his life. And notice with me, if you would, tonight, some things about him. First of all, we see his character. The Bible says in verse number 8, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb said that of himself. In verse number 9, Moses said it of Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord his God. And then you would find in Numbers chapter 14 that God had said it of Caleb, that Caleb had wholly followed the Lord his God. So three times the testimony is given that really shows you the character of Caleb, that he had wholly followed the Lord his God. In other words, here was a man who was all in his relationship with God. He was not holding anything back. He was wholly following the Lord his God. Years ago, there was a man by the name of Henry Varley who said this, "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a man wholly committed to him." D.L. Moody heard that statement and said this, "By the grace of God, I will be that man. I want to be wholly, completely dedicated to him." And you know, God honored that desire in the life of D.L. Moody. He took an untrained shoe clerk and used him to preach the gospel and shake two continents for God. I asked the teenagers this morning, because we have been doing a series, we actually completed it this morning, a video series entitled, Not a Fan. And the whole gist of the video series is that God, Jesus Christ, when he was walking the earth, was not looking for fans, those enthusiastic admirers who would just follow him for a time and then walk away. He was looking for true, devoted followers. And he did have them. And I asked them this question this morning. Can anyone really, as a Christian, be truly surrendered, fully surrendered to the Lord? And the reason I asked that question, because over my years of pastoring, I've had some people, and I know they mean well, but they will come up to me and make this statement, that no Christian really is ever fully surrendered to the Lord. Not really, they say. Well, may I ask you, what do you do with this man named Caleb? Because Caleb not only said it of himself, Moses, his leader, said it of himself, of Caleb, but God said it of Caleb, that here is a man who has wholly followed me. And I say tonight that you and I can come to a place in our life where we can be fully surrendered to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying it's a one-time decision. It is an everyday kind of lifestyle. But yet we see here that Caleb had lived this kind of life where he said, I'm all in, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord my God, no matter what anybody else does, count me in, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. And so this speaks to the character of Caleb. Well, notice then in the context, with this kind of character, we see his confidence. Where did his confidence come from? Well, the Bible in this passage tells us that his confidence had come from the Word of God. Look at this closely. In fact, actually, I have looked at this passage several times and quite frankly, kind of missed it. And so notice it says here three times in the passage. Verse number 6, as Caleb speaks here, he says, "Thou knowest the thing that the," who said? "The Lord said." Now look at verse number 10. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said." Now look, if you would, at verse 12. "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." Did you catch it? "That the Lord spake in that day." Now, obviously, and then the end of verse 12, "as the Lord said." So four times there is reference being made that Caleb is resting his confidence in the Word of God, that which God has said. And Caleb is just entrenched in this. And he says, you know, what's kept me going all of these years while I have seen some of my friends and possibly some of my relatives die off in the wilderness because of unbelief? I anchored myself in what God said, and here I am now 45 years later, and I want that mountain that the Lord said would be mine. That's powerful, church. Because his confidence was not faith in faith. his confidence, his faith was anchored where? His faith was anchored in the Word of God. And church, tonight, that is a great place to anchor our faith. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. And so our faith increases through the Word of God. And church, the more and more God allows us to live on this earth, I think you would agree with me, we are getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way this world is going, the direction it is going, and the things that we see shaping up and seeing the unrest again in Israel, we know that there is going to be a time when Israel will know true peace. But right now, they don't know that true peace. But here's what we know tonight. We don't have to live here with disturbed hearts because we know what the Word of God says is going to come to pass, and our faith is anchored in what God says. Amen? God's Word is powerful. It's alive. And we can anchor our faith in God's Word. You know, I think about, again, these folks that came this morning. I don't know what their spiritual conditions are, but as I think about them being here this morning, they heard the Word of God. I don't know what their takeaway was from the Word of God that they heard. But here's what I know, that the Holy Spirit of God, particularly if they're unsaved, can take that word and stir in their heart and bring them to a point of conviction. And Lord willing, they won't resist it, but that they will be broken and cry out and say, Lord, save me. Isn't that what we want to see? That's what we want to see. And I think about how the Word of God to us, church, we can be so confident in the days that we live, not confident in ourselves, but confident knowing that what God promises, He's able also to perform. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what God promises, He's able to perform? Yes, He is. You can have peace in the midst of your storm. Why? Because He promised that. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You can have confidence when you pray because you know God has promised in His Word, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And I could just go on and on and on, but where does that confidence come from? Where did it come for Caleb? His confidence came from the fact that, hold it, the Lord has said, the Lord has said, the Lord has said, the Lord has said, and here I am 45 years later, and I'm ready to claim the mountain. Because that's what the Lord said. Now, with that in mind, notice now a third truth about the life of this mountain climber. Not only his character, he was pure in heart. He followed the Lord as God. From that came a confidence in the Word of God. But then from that came great courage. Great courage. Now look at this. He had some adversaries he had to overcome. He notes them for us in the passage. For instance, he had to overcome grasshoppers. Say, what? Where do you see that at? Look at the text, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. In fact, if you read in Numbers, here it says it made the heart of the people melt, but in Numbers it says it, they were discouraged. They had discouraged the hearts of the greater camp of the Israelites. Just 10 men, although 12 were sent out, Joshua and Caleb came back with a positive report, but here in this context, Caleb mentions, hold it, my brethren went. They saw what we saw, and they came back and they gave the negative report and caused the heart of the people to melt. And you will find in Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 33, here is what those spies said. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So, what happened? Joshua and Caleb kept their eyes on God and believed God. The other 10 saw themselves as grasshoppers compared to these giants in the land. We're not able to overcome. And what happened? They, if you would, dispersed a spirit of unbelief among the people. Their hearts did melt. And guess what? You know the account. The greater camp listened to those 10 spies, and they, because of unbelief, wandered around in the wilderness and died there, never seeing the promised land, because they listened to the spirit of unbelief. That says something like this: you know, it just can't be done. It just can't be done. In fact, it won't be done. And by the way, you can have these kind of people in your churches today. People who say, you know, it can't be done, it won't be done, it's just impossible. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. Amen? What's impossible with man is possible with God. Because with God, all things are possible. And here, Caleb had to overcome this spirit of unbelief. He had to overcome this adversary of the grasshoppers were just like grasshoppers in their sight. But he had to overcome another adversary. Look at it with me, if you would, now, in verse number 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain where the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So he mentions the Anakims. Now what do we know about them? They are giant people. That's what they saw. Now in Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 8, here is Caleb's response though. I love this. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. In other words, bring on the peanut butter and the jelly. These guys are bread for us. With the Lord's on our side, we win. And I love this guy's contagious spirit, right? I mean, I love his courageous spirit. And here he is, up against these, though, who say, oh, there's giants in the land. It can't be done. It won't be done. And they got their eyes on man instead of keeping their eyes focused on God. The things we think are difficulties are really opportunities. Hey, I'm preaching to myself as I'm preaching you tonight, but how many times have we missed opportunities because we focused on the difficulties? How many of you realize that the faith life, oftentimes, humanly speaking, will bring you up to the difficulties? God says, I want you to go do this, and then what does our adversary do? Instead of focusing on what God wants us to do, you know what he does? He gets us to focus on the difficulties. He gets us to think about we miss seeing the opportunities. The difference. Do you know what the difference is between a pessimist and an optimist? The pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. But the optimist sees opportunities in every difficulty. That's Mr. Caleb. I mean, he wasn't a pessimist. He saw the opportunities. Why? Because the answer is found in what he said. Only, here it is again, only rebel not ye against the Lord, And the Lord is with us, fear them not. They're bread for us. No problem here. Why? Because the Lord is with us. Yeah, you're right. On one side, there's giants in the land. But not too big for God to handle. And there are come times in our life when God is going to test our faith and really stretch us. And what He is wanting us to do is to have faith in Him and not dwell on the difficulty, but rather see the opportunity. That's what Caleb did. I read about a man who went to Africa as a shoe salesman. He stayed over there a while and wired his company back, and he said, "Get me out of here." They said, "Why?" He said, "The people over here don't wear shoes." So they brought him back and sent another salesman over there, and he stayed there a few weeks and wrote back and said, "Send me all the shoes you can get. I've never seen so many prospects." That's Caleb's spirit. That's Caleb's spirit that says, there's people here without shoes. We got opportunities here. In church tonight, here we are, 2019 of May, and here we are in Gaines Township and have great opportunities. Our God is able. Do you believe that tonight? Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do you ever think preachers get discouraged? Even though yesterday I went to a very encouraging conference, for whatever reason, I just really got struck, believe it or not, Brother Glenn and Hella Jean, when I got home last night, for whatever reason, I just got struck with a moment of discouragement. I began to think about our church for a little bit, and so what I did, I just went to my knees and I began to pray. I said, "Lord, would you today bring somebody here for the very first time to our church?" I didn't qualify it by saying, you know, have them be unsaved, nothing like that. I just said, "Lord, would you just show us that, show me that you're still working." And praise God, this morning we had 4 first-time guests. Say, "Well, it was just coincidence." I don't believe in coincidence with God. God knew that for whatever reason this preacher got a little discouraged last night, and I needed that confirmation that He's still working. And I was encouraged. And you see, sometimes what happens is that we can just look around us and we can get discouraged. God says, quit looking around and look up. Remember one time, David, the people spoke of stoning him? And what did he do? Did he go run and hide under the piano? Didn't have a piano then, but you know what I mean. No! You know what he did? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And he went on and led the people. And I tell you tonight, church, that Caleb was saying, you know, if God is on our side, and He is, we win. These giants are nothing but bread for us. Not a problem with God. And you know what the sad thing is that greater camp of people wandered and died in the wilderness. Because of unbelief, they missed the blessing. And I know there have been times in my life, probably times in your life, where you've missed some blessings just simply because you wouldn't believe God. So don't beat yourself up over that. Just ask God to continue to grow your faith and strengthen your faith. Now, there's one other adversary he had to overcome. Look at verse number 10. he talks about his age, and lo, I am this day 85 years old. Now, I hope I wasn't stretching when I pointed this out as an adversary, but I'm going to mention it, and I call it gray hairs. Gray hairs. It encourages me. Wednesday, for instance, Brother Gordon Harrison, he's not in good health, and continue to keep him in your prayers. He should be getting out of ICU tonight and then moved back up to another floor. But you know what? He called me Wednesday after his procedure, the scope that he had done. And he was telling me, he said, Pastor, man, that was the easiest thing I've ever been through. You know, they found it, the problem, and they cauterized it. And I said, well, when are you going to go home? He says, as soon as they give me a glass of water, I'm out of here. Then I said, well, Gordon, because I knew he went by way of ambulance, I said, how you leaving? Oh, yeah, I got to figure that one out. But he went on to say this, and this is what encouraged me. He said this, Pastor, when I get out of there, he says, how is the field behind your house? I need to get over there and mow that. And Pastor, did anybody mow the churchyard? I'm thinking, Brother Gordon, you know, do you realize what kind of condition you're in? But in his mind, hey, I'm not quitting. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going for the Lord. He's looking at it as, yeah, okay, I can't do what I used to do, but God willing, I'm going to keep on mowing the churchyard. Thank God. Here's a man in his 80s, not well. And I think tonight of many of you, you're not 80 yet, but some of you are approaching it. Hey, pray that God will keep you in good health so that you can be like Caleb. And none of us get to pick, if you would, we can kind of dream how we're going to go, but none of us get to really pick how we're going to go. But wouldn't it be great to go to glory serving God? Amen? Amen. I mean, hey, that's how I want to go. I want to go just serving my Lord. I don't want to, again, like I said, I don't get to pick how God's going to do it. But I don't want to go, and I think you would agree with me, I don't want to go laying in some nursing home somewhere with my body all racked with pain. And I just want, at that point, I would like, Lord, just let me go. My rather is this, that I'd be able to go serving the Lord. Amen. I mean, I want to go, if you would, using an old Western slogan, I want to go in the saddle. Amen. I want to go from there. Just keep on keeping on serving the Lord. That's what Caleb. Now, here is the blessing for Caleb. You will find in verse number 13 that he was able to get his inheritance. He was able to enter in and get that inheritance. And so, church, I say to us tonight in closing, the days that we are living in are drawing short to live for God. And it is time for us to be like Caleb and be mountain climbers and not valley dwellers. Be mountain climbers. Let's go for God. And let's wholly follow Him. You can be like a Caleb. I can be like a Caleb. That we can wholly follow the Lord our God. And have faith in Him and believe God in His word. And be able to say like that old song, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, I want that mountain. Let's pray together. Father, tonight, You've encouraged me. You have strengthened me through the study of Your word and then also the opportunity to preach tonight to Your people. I love them, Lord. I thank you for them. I thank you for their desire to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. But may this kind of spirit that we find in Caleb be in us. A man who is courageous, a man who is confident, confident because he had faith in your word, confident because he had seen you do great things, great miracles, and that just strengthened his faith. And here was a man who wholly followed you. He didn't let the discouragers hold him back. He just believed you. And Father, tonight in our life, help us to have this kind of faith in you. And help us to be fully surrendered to you. In Jesus' name I pray.